Okay, since our podcast princess, Persephone 33, is going on a well-deserved vacation, I figured I would go ahead and do the audiofic portion of today's program. Seagrim had asked me before to read Overtime First Friends. Now, I'm not reading the whole thing, but I'll read the first installment of it, and that will give you a great appreciation for Persephone 33 when she comes back next month. I don't like my voice, which is why I don't often record these, but with the chatty bits, it's just kind of, well, you're submitting yourself to it, so it's not my fault. So anyway, kind of in the DVD commentary mode, this was my second fic in the DG, third. My first one was Beginning and End, and seems melodramatic to me now, but I liked it a lot at the time. Posted within a week of first going, Draco and Ginny, don't they hate each other? Just getting comfortable here, sorry for the extraneous noises. So basically I had joined the fanfic list that Stranger Face still runs, Draco Ginny fanfic at yahoogroups.com, and they had a challenge. I think it was over by the time I got there, or I don't know, but basically there were a bunch of prompts and I decided instead of just picking one to do all of them in a row. Each one is a separate vignette, each one fits the prompt requirements, and each one has a required phrase and required item. So, let's see, the first one. Confessional. Ginny and Draco get together, and keep in mind, this is before books 5, 6, or 7. And, as I said, third fic within the fandom, so. The second was the plan, in case you're wondering. And basically, I just wrote this really fast. The whole thing was written in less than a month. But it's not all that long. Like, Dragon's Angel writes these huge, ginormous epics, and I'm just sitting there like, how do you do that? I just, you know, I look at my fics and I go, okay, this doesn't need to be there. This, you know, by the time I finish editing, it's a lot shorter, so it's kind of, I envy the ability to sustain things and not just go at it with a machete in the editing process. But anyway, okay, so chapter one, the challenge was confessional. Ginny and Draco get together and share boy or girlfriend stories over wine, pot, dark chocolate, some hallucinogenic potion, whatever, your choice. The required item was underwear, and the required phrase was, and boy, was I sore the next day. So, it takes place in Draco's seventh year, as speculated on in, the time period before Order of the Phoenix, etc. And so I guess I should just start. It was all Neville Longbottom's fault. If he hadn't gotten so flustered over creating a solid purple mass at the bottom of his cauldron instead of the runny blue liquid Snape had ordered, he wouldn't have phrased his letter declaring endless love and asking for a date in quite the, inappropriate way that he had. Then Ginny Weasley wouldn't have choked and gasped in the middle of potions class, or burned her fingers stuffing the parchment into the flames under her cauldron before Snape could grab it and read it to the class. Ginny thought singed fingers were a fair trade for being spared humiliation so total that she would have had to dye her hair and live as a muggle. Still, it was definitely Neville's fault that she got detention. Not that Neville's crimes ended there. No. He was so unnerved when he realized what he had written, he had turned and attempted a dead run to the potions classroom. This ended up being prevented by his running full tilt into Draco Malfoy, who was, to say the least, not pleased. That McGonagall rounded a corner at the exact moment the Slytherin cast a nasty hex could also be laid at the unfortunate Neville's door. She had been looking for him to escort him to meet his grandmother in Dumbledore's office. This was not, in Malfoy's opinion, sufficient punishment, and he plotted revenge even as McGonagall declared that he would be serving detention. The only thing that kept the plans from being for Neville's painful demise was that the detention would be served with Snape. He had not counted on being stuck with the littlest Weasley, scrubbing cauldrons by hand as Snape rushed off to deal with some emergency, probably caused by Longbottom if trends continued. He had definitely not counted on the purple mass in Neville's cauldron turning into a gas as it came into contact with water. "Malfoy? What's that?" Ginny had heard a soft woof and seen Draco disappear in a cloud of magenta smoke. It drifted towards her and she started to cough as it entered her lungs. "I don't feel so good." "That's funny, I feel great." Malfoy gave her a grin that could only be described as goofy. Ginny looked at him owlishly. "You do?" She seemed to think for a minute, then broke into a grin. "It does kind of tingle, doesn't it?" Malfoy's don't tingle. He gave his best attempt at his normal sneer, but broke into a decidedly undignified giggle. Or if they do, they never admit it. This was the funniest thing Ginny had ever heard. Her laughter was infectious, and Malfoy joined in. After several minutes of laughing, they were leaning on each other, which was all that kept them from sliding to the ground. Ginny managed to catch her breath enough to gasp, "Ew, ferret cooties," which just set them both off again. Even in an altered state, though, laughter can't last forever. Draco's stomach growled, and that seemed to be the signal for both of them to settle down. He threw his scrub brush at Neville's now empty cauldron. "This is ludicrous. I'm going to boil Longbottom for soup, and his ruddy toad. I just might help. It's all his fault I'm stuck here." Ginny hiccuped and swished a cloth half-heartedly around the bottom of a cauldron while staring at Malfoy fixedly. "What?" He wobbled a bit as he tried to stare back, but had trouble focusing. Ginny blinked several times. "Is your hair growing?" He reached up and ran his hands through it. "I don't think so." He pushed his hands through his hair again, slowly. "Feels weird, though. It's not soft enough." Without further ado, he dunked his head under the faucet that had been opened to pour water into a dirty cauldron. Ginny shrieked with laughter again, but stopped when he stood up, looking sulky, and said, "It's nice and soft now." "I'm hungry." Ginny dropped her washcloth and started fumbling through her clothes. Draco shoved his wet hair away from his face, only to stare fixedly at his hand. After a few seconds, he shook his head and visibly pulled himself together. Dinner was ages ago, no chance of getting food at this hour. "Ha! Show's with you now." Ginny finally remembered why she was digging through her pockets and pulled out her wand. A swish and a flick, and a few words later, the room was spotless. And bare. "Where did all the cauldrons go?" Draco's hand was still moving, as if the scrub brush he had picked up was still in contact with something. Ginny looked around, feeling vaguely like she should be concerned about the complete lack of desiccosity in her surroundings. "I don't know, but wherever they are, they're clean, so we can go eat." A smile like a sunrise burst onto his face. "Wicked." Draco thought that tickling the pair to get in the kitchen was brilliant and had to try it himself before they went in. Ginny admired the way he managed to get the house elves to take them to a small parlor and provide them with enough food for a regiment without spending an hour explaining, as she always seemed to. They agreed that Neville Longbottom was due a horrible revenge, despite their evening having turned out to be fun. Gradually, the colors and textures all around them started to become less fascinating, and they focused more on talking. "What's your deepest, darkest secret?" Ginny's head rolled backwards as a wave of dizziness flowed over her. "Weasel, if I told anyone, there wouldn't be a point to it being the deepest and darkest." Ginny snorted at this, or possibly at the spoon he had balanced on his nose. "Anyway, you go first. Tell me your somewhat deep, mostly dark secrets, and I'll tell you mine." She mulled this over, but couldn't find a flaw in his logic. "Fair enough. I kissed Hermione once." The Malfoy dignity was nowhere in sight as Draco spit out the butterbeer he had just been drinking. "You and the Mudblood played tonsil hockey? Please, tell me there were pictures." "We did not. And why pictures of a pair of 13-year-old girls pressing their lips together would interest anyone? I haven't the foggiest." Ginny waggled a chicken leg at him menacingly. "Your turn. No, I want to hear more about this kissing business. He took a bite of the chicken leg as it went past his face and then looked at her expectantly. Forbidden passions in the halls of Hogwarts, eh? What? Ginny snorted. More like Hermione's obsessive drive for perfection. She wanted to make sure she'd know where the noses go and all, so she wouldn't muck up her first real kiss. Ginny frowned as something filtered through. And don't call her that word. It's not nice. I'm a Slytherin. If we're nice, we lose house points. This sent Ginny off into peals of laughter again, and Draco thought idly that the sound was quite pleasant. No more messing about. It's your turn to sell a secret. She had stopped laughing and started flicking peas into the fireplace. Draco thought for a minute. I want to bone Pansy Parkinson. Ginny rolled her eyes. That's about as big a secret as my wanting to someday marry Harry Potter and have his children. She took a swig of butterbeer as he spluttered, then cut him off with, Tell me a real secret, like who your first... Millicent Bulstrode. She dragged me into a broom closet and had her wicked way with me. I could barely walk afterwards, and boy, was I sore the next day. Draco grimaced at the memory and then snickered at Ginny's horrified expression. I had been going to say kiss. She threw a bread roll at him in disgust. You realize I'm never going to be able to look her in the eye again. He caught the roll and bit into it. Oh, please, it's a natural activity, Millicent's technique aside. Everyone... He broke off to look at her bright red face. What am I saying? Of course you haven't. Probably saving yourself for marriage. Ginny looked morose. Between my brothers and the underwear issue, I'll probably die a virgin. Sensing the fun mood was dissipating, Draco tried to think of something that would make her feel better. Come on, Weasley, you're not that bad. I mean, if you weren't a Weasley and completely not my type, I'd fuck you. After a few minutes of being stared at in disbelief, he couldn't help fidgeting. What? Can't I say something nice without being stared at like a zoo animal? Don't be nice, Malfoy. You're really bad at it. Ginny laughed again, and the air in the room seemed light again. Anyway, you haven't seen the underwear in question. It could be marketed as birth control. So why wear it? He shrugged and started digging around the wreckage on the table for a full bottle of butterbeer. Ginny growled, Because, you great Louis, it's all my mother will buy for me, and it's not like the youngest Weasley has any money to go out and buy her own knickers. Draco rolled his eyes. Well, the solution is obvious, isn't it? Don't wear any. Ginny turned this thought over in her mind and couldn't seem to find a problem with it. You're right. Of course I am. Draco shut his eyes against a sudden feeling of vertigo. The next thing he saw when he opened his eyes was Ginny standing in front of the fire with a great deal of white cotton and elastic in her hands. She threw it into the flames and raised a fist in the air. As God is my witness, I'll never wear granny knickers again! Very touching, Miss Weasley, but perhaps you would care to explain why the entire contents of my classroom consist of a scrub brush and what appears to be one of your shoes. Snape's voice cracked through the room and startled Ginny into falling down with a thump. Draco cackled and Snape's attention turned to him. And you, Mr. Malfoy, do you have anything to say? It seemed as if the whole world was still for a moment before Draco stood and stretched to his full height. In the tone of a Malfoy born and bred, he said haughtily, The golden Gryffindors are right, sir. You do look exactly like a vampire who didn't quite finish changing back from a bat. Ginny dissolved into hysterical laughter, and after seeing the expression on Snape's face, Malfoy joined in. After a moment, Snape walked stiffly to the fireplace and threw in a handful of powder. Pomfrey! A few seconds later, a harassed-looking Madame Pomfrey was poking out of the flames. What on earth is the matter, Severus? She looked around the room and said, Oh dear, they ate all that? And went into hysterics. Snape's declaration was somewhat unnecessary, as Pomfrey could still see the still giggling pair. Bring them to the infirmary. I'll notify Minerva and Professor Dumbledore. Snape's glare at the two students could have put a basilisk to shame. I presume the two of you can still manage to propel yourselves about since you are here instead of in my newly empty classroom. Start walking. We're going to get expelled! Ginny was whimpering and crying as they walked down the hallway, her freckles standing out garishly against her dead white skin. Draco patted her awkwardly on the shoulder before his eyes rolled back and he dropped to the ground. Ginny screamed and sobbed on Draco's shirt front until Snape cast a muting charm on her. "He will be fine, Miss Weasley, no thanks to your caterwauling." Nothing more was said as they went to the infirmary, the unconscious Malfoy floating behind them like a helium balloon. Ginny continued to mutely cry in panic as she held Malfoy's hand and watched Snape confer with Madame Pomfrey, Professor McGonagall, and Dumbledore. Draco was lowered to a bed and the attention of all the adults turned to Ginny. "Can you tell us what happened, child?" Madame Pomfrey's voice was gentle and Ginny burst into fresh bursts of hysterical, silent tears. The nurse glared at Snape and he removed the charm, leaving Ginny to burst out with, "And it's all Neville's fault!" Pomfrey and McGonagall gasped and Snape looked pleased. Dumbledore just smiled faintly and said, "Just for clarity, my dear, perhaps you could explain everything that had happened tonight, including Mr. Longbottom's involvement." And so Ginny started babbling, going over every detail while still holding on to Draco's hand for dear life. As soon as she described the purple solid and the magenta smoke, Madame Pomfrey bustled away and came back with two vials. She poured one down Malfoy's throat and handed the other one to Ginny as soon as she was done talking. "Drink up, dear. Everything will be all right in the morning." Ginny obeyed and found herself drifting off to sleep, hearing snatches of conversation, completely accidental. Longbottom producing one of the strongest illicit... "Where are my desks?" The next thing she heard was rather a lot of groaning and cursing. "Shut it, Malfoy. Some of us want to sleep." "Weasley?" He turned sharply towards her voice and bitterly regretted it. "Holy fuck, I'm dying." Ginny groaned as a truly painful amount of sunlight assaulted her eyelids. "Consider yourself lucky. I think I might pull through." "We didn't, I don't think. What happened?" Random images were tap dancing through his skull, but the most worrisome one was of Weasley holding her underwear. He couldn't seem to find anything else in his brain to connect it with. "I think that adding water to Neville's cauldron made whatever was in it some kind of drug." Ginny pushed herself to a seated position and winced. "Incidentally, if you ever get anywhere with Parkinson, let me know if those knockers are real or not. There's a pool on in Gryffindor and I could use the cash." "Well, hopefully I'll be able to tell you before you catch cold, prancing around with no knickers on." Draco pinched the bridge of his nose and rubbed. While he was glad that his memory had returned, bringing with it the blessed knowledge that nothing had happened, his father would be rolling over in his grave if he'd heard Draco talking to a Weasley. Well, if he'd gotten a grave. His mother would have an apoplexy at his speaking this way to a girl, but he couldn't bring himself to care. She laughed, though, so maybe it was all right. "I can't bring myself to regret that. It deserved to burn." Draco Malfoy then had a brilliant, ludicrous, completely barking mad, and yet fun, thought. "So, you want to be friends?" "I guess we already are." Ginny seemed thoughtful for a moment, then a decidedly evil smile crept over her face. "Just think how many people we can piss off in one blow." Draco's stomach rumbled, and he saw by the clock on the wall that breakfast was currently being served in the Great Hall. With considerable effort, he pushed himself to his feet and smoothed down the front of his hopelessly wrinkled robes. "Shall we start now, then?" "Let's." And the equally rumpled Ginny put her hand in the crook of his elbow before following him to breakfast. And that is the end of the first vignette, which is all I'm going to read today. So... congratulations if you made it this far. Sorry for all my mistakes, and I'll talk to y'all next month.